Hit mute all.
Where is that?
It's on
okay,
the.
I'll try to put it
around. Okay. Okay. Very big kids, Rabbi say Parshas Nasa. We had a whole Chumash here on it. A lot to talk about. Largest Parsha in all of Chumash. 176 Pesukim. But we never, for those who listened to the Chumash here, we went backwards. It was very confusing. We started from the end of the Parsha, worked to the beginning, and we never got to the beginning of the Parsha. So the beginning of the Parsha, the opening Pasuk is Kadai Pasuk to talk about. The Torah reminds us of the counting of Bnei Gershon. Nasa Esroish Bnei Gershon Gamhem. We're also going to count the children of Gershon. So the Kliyok already points out, Mishnah points out, that Gershon was the oldest brother. Levi had three children, Gershon, Kahath, and Merari. So you would have thought that if you're going to go in chronological order, or order of birth, so it should have been first count Gershon, then Kahath, then Merari. So the Medrash writes, that's Pshat Gershon Gamheim. Oh, now we're also going to count Gershon. What happened to him in last week's and the Parshas by Midbar, we counted Kahath. So why did Kahath go before Gershon? That's the kasha that the Medrash brings down. So the answer that the Medrash gives is that Kahath is, although Kahath was the oldest brother, but Gershon was the older brother, Kahath got counted first. Why did Kahath get counted first? Because he carried the Aron. Since he carried the Aron, he got counted first, and because Gershon was the Bechor, he got counted second. So the follow-up question is, one second, if Gershon was the older brother, he was the Bechor, shouldn't have he been Zeichet to carry the Torah? Why did he give it to the other brother? So the Kliyaka writes, again, it's all the first of Midrashim. Kliyaka writes, the Medrash says, that no, the Torah wants to teach us that if Gershon would have been the one who carried the Aron, one would have thought the Torah is only given to Bechor. It can only be, Torah is not for everyone. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'davka structured that he gave it to the non-Bechor brother, to what we call today the middle brother, the regular brother, to teach the world that no, Torah is for everyone. Everyone has a Sheikhas to Torah. Not only those people that are born into the right family, in the right class, in the right family. No, everyone has access to Torah and should have access to Torah. Aye, so then at the end of the day, so why does Kahath get counted first? Because Lamaisa, we have a Chashivas at Torah. At the end of the day, Kahath was the one who did carry the Torah. And since he was the one who carried the Torah, we live with the Chashiva Satayra. So it comes out interesting that there's really two Yesodis that we take away from the opening Pasuk. There's a Chashiva Satayra, and then there's B, the idea that we all have a Sheiches to Torah, which I think is very nice why we read this after Shavuos. Right? Parashas Nos is always right after Shavuos, because Parashas Bamidbar is always right before Shavuos, and B's Parashas Nos is always right after Shavuos. What's the Sheiches? Because after Shavuos, the person has to remind himself that we all have a Sheiches to Torah, but more than anything, we all have a Chashiva Satayra. We all have a value. We understand that, listen, someone who carries the Torah, he's supposed to honor, he's supposed to respect, he's supposed to have proper way of treating the Torah itself, because the Gemara says that it's Torah Dilehu, the Gemara has a line, that Talmud Chacham is Torah itself, because and therefore these are two, I think, very essential messages from a post-Shavuos experience. Okay. We're holding over here. We had a little break. We had a 1 week break for Inyana Diyema, 1 week break for Shavuos. Okay, so I'm sure everyone still remembers where we're up to. But we're holding over here in a Machloikas Amoraim. Actually, we didn't get to the second side of the Amora yet. We're holding an Ula Shita. Again, let's just very quickly remind ourselves: we have a Shaila. Whenever you have two Averas, two punishments that come down the pike at the same time, which one do you get? So the Gemara says we have a rule: Kedei Rishos B'Shem Risha Achas Ata Mechayv Avita Mechayv Shtei Rishos. Can't get two punishments. So which one do you have to get? So that's the Machlokes. Ula was of the opinion. This is the one we're more familiar with, probably, even though it's not the way we pasken al halacha. Believe it or not, we'll see today. Hopefully, we don't pasken like Ula. But Ula says Mamanu Malkus. The rule is Mishaling Veino Leiker. You pay the money, you don't get Malkus. And the Gemara has been trying to figure out how does Ula know that? Where do you know that from? Where does it say that in the Chumash? So the Gemara ends up saying on top of number one, Alu Ula Tachas Tachas Gomer. Ula learns it out from Gzeres Shavah. Now before we go back to that, let's just remind ourselves, and I'm sure everyone remembers, that there are two places in the Torah where the Torah somewhat mefurish tells us that you pay and you don't get Malkus. One of them is Chavala. Every time a guy punches someone else in the face and he breaks his glasses and he gives him a bloody nose, so he has to pay for breaking his glasses. That's a mamonis obligation. And he has to pay, and he gets malchus for Lo Yosef, hitting him in the face. So which one does he get? So there we're going to learn out that everyone agrees. That's not a machloikis. Everyone agrees. In that case, you pay and you don't get malchus. That's case number one. And there's another case which we're going to talk more about, hopefully. It's called Edim Zoyimim. Case where you have a guy testifies, Ruvei testifies on Shimon, that Shimon was supposed to pay $1,000. He testifies that Shimon owes $1,000. So now he's found that to be Zaymim. So we all know the rule is, Kashizavam Lasis Lachav. We give to him what he wanted to do to them. So he wanted to make his friend lose $1,000, so he has to lose $1,000. But he also gets Malchus for lying. So which one does he get? So we have a special gzeirah kasev. He's mishalim ve'ein eloikim. So the Gemara is going to say, let's go back to our sugya. Our sugya is a case of nara. A guy is ma'anis or mafata, a girl. The girl that he's mafata happens to be his sister. So his sister could potentially carry chayvi krisis, but it could also carry a lav. Meaning, whenever you have chayvi krisis, if you're masrid for the lav, the guy gets the malchus. So let's say, for example, the guy's about to be ma'anis mafata, his sister, and the edim tell him, listen, don't do that. If you do this, you're going to get the malchus. So he says he does it anyway, so now he gets malchus for living with his sister, and now he has to pay the penalty fine for being ma'anis mafata, his sister. So which one does he have?
One second, and he doesn't get karis?
No, because he was master of the lav. That's the chap. The chap of the karis is
so
if you master
of
the lav.
If they warn you on the wrong thing, you can
not wrong.
The punishment?
It's not wrong. There's a lav also. If you master on the lav, it says in the pasuk also a lav. Is a lav and a karis. So if you master on the lav, then the halach is you don't get the karis. Wow. That's a famous shtickle why the Rambam wanted to bring back the Bezdin, because all those people that were not able to be meskaber and were not able to fight conversion in that time in history, the Rambam felt, if we could bring back a Bezdin and we could all try them and give them malchus, so the malchus will pater them from karis.
Is that every
karis? I think so. Wow. Wherever there's a lav, I'm saying it has to also be a lav also there. I don't know if there has to be that the Torah writes a lav also or by all karis. I don't remember. But over here, Grata says by a chois, it says, L'sikru l'galos ervas a chois. It says over here clearly.
Is there a lav in karis except for...
I don't know. You have to go through... By the arayis, it has. By arayis, it also has all the lav. By the arayis, it could be by avodizar also, maybe. I don't remember.
No one says except the milah has
the karis. Right. So the places with the Torah...
What's the lav by arayis?
It says loy sikruvu. Says don't do it.
Yeah, but doesn't it say every karis she karis?
Yeah, it says that also. So that since the Torah gives both, so if you give your master for the lav, so then you can get the malchus. So that's ula. So Zok Gemara, how does ula know this? So ela ula top line. If you were to open up a regular gemara, this would be at the top line of lamed beis amid beis. Okay, we don't use regular gemaras here. I mean, we use regular gemaras. We just don't have the regular tzuris adaf. So the gemara says ula tachas gomar. Ula is gzeir shava. Because if you remember for lamed beis amid aleph, the first amid over there, the gemara was back and forth with drushes. Learn it from this and learn it from that. And the gemara said this is no good and that's no good. The gemara says forget all that. We're going to go gzeir shava route. What's the beauty of gzeir shava? You can't ask any kashas on gzeir shava. Gzeir shava is gzeir shava. That's fragmentish can kashas, no pirchos, no chumras, no kulas. Gzeir shava is a gzeir shava. El ula tachas tachas gomar. Ula learns gzeir shava. Ksiv och, it says over here by Ernest Bafata, tachas asher ino, in the place of the pain that you caused her. Viksiv hasam, it says over there, ayin tachas ayin. Where does it say ayin tachas ayin? That's by chavola, when a person is mazik another person. So ma hasam, in mayinim shalom milkali loki, just like over there by chavola we said earlier. That loch is, even though you punched him in the face, he broke his glasses, and he has a bloody nose, so now you owe him for the mominess, and you also get a laugh for lo yosef. What's the rule? Over there, that loch is mayinim shalom So Ula Shita is clear. Ula Shita is a Gzereshava. Gzereshava, Tachas, Tachas. Now we spoke a little bit about this 3 weeks ago, where we talked about, according to Ula, can you learn it to other places also, or is it only the case of Einus and Mafatim? Because again, Gzereshava is very limiting. The word Tachas is said by Chavola, and the word Tachas is by Einus and Mafatim. Can I learn it to another area that doesn't have the word Tachas? We pointed out that that's a machlokes Rashi and Taisvus. Rashi was of the opinion, yes, you learn it to everywhere, while Taisvus said, no, aim by el chadusha, wherever it says it, no more, no less. Fine, that's Ula. We spent a lot of time on Ula. Now let's, for the fun of it, talk about Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Now, if you remember how we got into this problem in the first place, it's because we had a steer and a Mishnah and Ksubis to a Mishnah and Makis. Our Mishnah and Ksubis says, if a person is ma'anis his sister, the Mishnah says he pays knas. Mishnah Makis says that if you live with your sister, you can get Malkus. And we learned that you can't get both punishments. So how does one Mishnah say you pay and one Mishnah say you get Malkus? So Ula came up with different answers to answer that kasha. Rabbi Yochanan has his own answer. Even if the girl is a Naira, which means she's eligible for Knas payment, the difference between Kansha Chosruboi, Kansha Loi Hisruboi. What's the difference between the Mishnah Makis and the Mishnah Ksubis? One is talking about where you warned her, and one was talking where you warned him, actually, and one was talking about where you did not warn him. What does that mean? Let's see Rashi on the left side. So first Rashi says, Tachas, Tachas, Gomer, Gzereshava, Mufnihi. It's an open Gzereshava, and therefore, Lemidim ve'emeshiv. We have the right to learn it. He can't ask me any kasha. It's fine. So Rashi, Afilu Tema. I heed the Makis. Even if you want to tell me that Mishnah in Makis, that says you get Makis, Malkis for living with your sister, that's Mari Bachois and Naira. It's talking about a girl who's a Naira. And therefore, she's really eligible for Knas. So if she's eligible for Knas, because what was Ula's answer? Ula's answer was the Mishnah Makis talking about a girl who's already past the stage of Ayinus Mafate. Says Rabbi Eichner, no. The Mishnah Makis is talking about a girl who's eligible for Knas. So why are you not paying Knas? Says Rashi, Ukishahisru boy, when you warned her, the Ikka Momenu Malkis, and a Chanami. In that case, Yitaka warned him. He said, listen, if you live with your sister, you're going to get Malkis. So now he was warned for Malkis. So now he's warned for Malkis. Now he gets both. Vashmin and Atishis me deloki v'loi mishal. Umamasnis niksubis bishaloi hisrube. The Mishnah and Ksubis by us. That says you pay and don't get Malkis, that's because you were never warned that you can get Malkis. So what do you see from Rabbi Yechanan? If I warned the guy, listen, if you're about to live with your sister, you're going to get Malkis, and he says, I don't care, and he does it, you know what happens in that case? He gets Malkis, and he doesn't pay. Why doesn't he pay? Because he can't get both. So what do we see from Rabbi Yechanan? Rabbi Yechanan knows when Malkis and Mamre come in conflict, not like Ula who says Mishalim ben Aloike, he actually disagrees. He says, Loike vein a Mishalim. Aye, so what about our Mishnah in Ksubis that says you pay Knas? That's because in our Mishnah you never warned the guy that he can get Malkis. You just told him, well, if you live with your sister, you get Karis. He says, okay, good Karis, fine. You never told him if you live with your sister, you can get Malkis.
Therefore, the Knas is not a punishment. It's a kapara or...
Why?
Because you didn't need Hasra to be able to be chayav on the Knas.
So for Mamonis, you never need Hasra. The Gemara, we had this kasha, I think, a few weeks ago. The Rishonim pointed this out. The Rashash asked it, to be correct. That you never get Hasra for Mamonis. Mamnus is always or Mamnus, you never get Asura. No one ever warns you before you throw a brick through someone's window. By the way, if you throw a brick through his window, you're gonna have to pay. It's Taka Kasha. It's uniqueness to Mamnus. Yeah, it's true.
But the point is, he does not hold Kimle with Kares. That's the key.
Correct.
Kimle with Kares,
he doesn't hold like him. Correct. But the Chiddush in Rabbi Yechon comes out that Rabbi Yechon holds that when the two things come in conflict, it's loike ve'ein mishalim, not mishalim ve'ein loike. Exact opposite. Which is actually the way the Rambam paskens lahalacha, believe it or not. The Rambam paskens, we'll come to it a little later today, the Rambam paskens that when you have Momen and Malkis, we go loike ve'ein mishalim, not the way everyone's used to thinking mishalim ve'ein loike, but actually the contrary, we go loike ve'ein mishalim. So now the $1 million questions are going to be, how does Rabbi Yechon know that? Bishlama ula had a gzereshava. So Ula had a gzereshava, that's easy. Had a gzereshava, don't ask me any kashas. Where Rabbi Yechon pulled this one out? That when Momen and Malkis come in conflict, the Malkis beats out the Momenis. So, fact is, Dr. Gemara, we're going to learn a little Gemara now. We won't make a habit of it, but at least it's kedai to see the whole Hemshech of the Gemara before we come back to the beginning of the Gemara. So the Gemara goes like this. Says the Gemara, Al Mokas of Rabbi Yechanan, clearly Rabbi Yechanan holds, Kol Hechadikah Mamun of Malkus, V'asru Bey, whenever there is Mamun of Malkus, and you're warned, Milki Loki Mimoyna Le Mishalim. You get Malkus and you don't pay. So that's Pasha, right? You see that from Rabbi Yechanan. Because what was Rabbi Yechanan's answer? Rabbi Yechanan's whole answer was that the Mishnah in Malkus that says you get Malkus is talking about when you warned him for Malkus. The Mishnah in Ksubas that says you pay is talking about when you didn't warn him. So what do you see? But when you do have real Malkus, which means you warned him for Malkus and there's legitimate Malkus, you get Malkus and you don't pay. So says the Gemara, Alma, thank you. Alma, we see Kolecha, Rabbi Yechon and Sheet is Kolecha, the Kamomen of Malkus, Asrube, and there's Hasra, Milka, Loki, Mimaino, and Mishal. So, Frank, the Gemara, the obvious Kasha, Minole, the Rabbi Yechon and Ho. How did Rabbi Yechon know this? Now, it's interesting, there's a Teis Yishan on the next page, which we'll just mention it very quickly. Teis Yishan asks, we had two Sheetas in the Gemara. Ula holds Mishalim ve'en aloikim. Rabbi Yechon holds Mishalim ve'en aloikim. Like ve'en misham. When we first were introduced to Ula, the Gemara asked, Minole luhula, how does Ula know this? So the Gemara, so Teis Yishan says, so you see from that the meaning Ula needs explanation. And then when you come to Rabbi Yechon, you ask, Minole Rabbi Yechon, how does Rabbi Yechon know it? 1 second. What's the Svari Yishara? What's the given? If you can't ask on both of them, how do they know it? Meaning one of them should be the common sense answer, and the other one is the one who has to disprove it. How can they both have this kasha? How does each of them know it?
Only if there's a third answer.
Not common sense. You need
raya. So let's go to the back. Let's turn over your page. We'll see number 14 inside. Let's see the Taisi. It's a short Taisi Yishanim again. Taisi Yishanim are small print. I can't control that. So I apologize in advance. Says the Taisi Yishanim. Vim Toimar. Earlier the Gemara asked, how does Ula know Mishalim ve'en aloike? V'hashta boy yibcha. And now you're asking me, how does Rabbi Yechon know it? So L'chayra, I would have answered very pashut to Taisus's kasha. I would have answered, because what's the premise in our Gemara? The premise in our Gemara is they're trying to figure out, when you have Mammon and Malkus, which one is more kedai to give? If you remember, we had a Chazanish. The Chazanish learned the shayla of the Gemara was, who are we trying to help? Are we trying to help the Nizik and make sure he gets compensated? Or are we worried about the Mazik's kapar? That's how the Chazanish learned the Gemara. The shayla of the Gemara, right? Remember the Gemara, the shayla, the Moinu l'kula, Moinu l'chumra, so everyone had a kasha. What type of shayla is that? Is Mammon kal, is Mammon chomer? So the way the Chazanish learned the Gemara was really running through a moral dilemma. You know, on one hand, we want to make the mazik pay to compensate the nizik. On the other hand, we want the mazik to get a kafar. So the question is a moral dilemma, which one wins? So I would have thought that's pshat in the Gemara over here. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan has a very good reason, and Ula has a very good reason. So the Gemara is not saying that the one of them makes more sense than the other. They each have compelling reasons to back up their shita, which is the Gemara's kasha.
Maybe the Gemara also feels, maybe there's a choice. Maybe the nizak can make the choice, and therefore we can go by Ula or Rav Yochanan.
Maybe. Again, okay, the Gemara doesn't know how we're supposed to look at this. We all agree you can only get one punishment. It's not a question, well, which one? Well, I hear one way. I am internally torn, because I can hear why the Mazik should get, you know, to win, or the Nizik should win. So
why are we calling it?
Exactly. So what's his kasha?
Why are you saying that we can only get one punishment? If they're both punishments, then wouldn't the Mammon be a kapara also?
So there's a famous Ramban, which we'll maybe come back to again. The Ramban has this comment where he says, when you do Kim Levidram, you're really giving the punishment. It's Bechlal Mosaimon, it's included in it. That's
so
the way they're...
So then you should give it to the Nizik.
Right.
So the money, but he gets compensated and there's a kapara.
Right. But the question is, how do we understand that exactly? You know, let's say, for example, according to either Pshat, it's going to work that way. Meaning, whether it's Misham Levein Aloik or Aloik Levein Misham, the Ramban is saying the point is that somehow in that one punishment, you're really giving two. But it doesn't really help the family when you give the guy Malkus. They're still out the money.
Right.
But so Mishalim, somehow when you give them that... The Ramban was really talking about more classical Kimlim when he's talking about, let's say, Misa and Mammon. So you give the guy Misa, and then he doesn't have to pay the Mammon. So the family doesn't see any money in that. And yet somehow the Ramban writes, that's really as if the family got paid. So Belina, we'll come back to this. This Ramban, Rabbi Chana talks about it. It comes back. It might come back again at the end part of the sugya. So yeah, we'll come back to that. So what's the answer to his kasha? He says no. The Gemara had a very good kasha. Why is Rabbi Yochanan shver? Why does Rabbi Yochanan have to defend his shita? Again, says the Tosfos Yeshayahu, why does Rabbi Yochanan have to defend his shita? If you attacked Ula's shita, that means you assumed that Ula was wrong. If you assumed Ula was wrong, then Rabbi Yochanan doesn't need any reasoning. Rabbi Yochanan was what we call today svara chitzayna. So how do you walk in and ask me a kasha? How did Rabbi Yochanan know that? Because you just told me that you had issues with Ula. So if you have issues with Ula, that means you think Rabbi Yochanan makes sense. Says the Tosfos Yeshayahu, no. The Gemara had a much bigger problem over here. Now that you just told me that Ula is a Gzeir Shava, how can Rabbi Yochanan argue on the Gzeir Shava? Now Rabbi Yochanan just got himself backed into the wall. Says Taisus, why? Because this Gzeir Shava we know was already accepted. This was one of those Gzeir Shavas that were accepted. Right, so second, this is where it's going to get complicated. Because if that's the pshat, so the Manola is not just how does he know it. The Manola is how does he know that it overrides the Gzeir Shava? And we'll see that the answer is not so good. That's why this Taisi Shalom is important. If you learn the Gemara the way I was suggesting, that the Gemara basically saying, listen, I hear both Svaras. I hear both reasons. I hear Ula and I hear Rabbi Yechlan, and each one I ask, how do you know it? Because I can go either way. So that the Gemara is going to give an answer. But if you learn like this Taisi Shalom, then the Gemara is saying like this, how does Rabbi Yochanan so convinced that he can override an accepted Gzeir Shava? Exactly. Right. In some places, we know there's a machloikis, whether you hold of a certain Gzeir Shava. I didn't darshan that. I didn't have the tradition.
It has to be a Masorah.
That's right. That's what the Tosfos Yeshayahu is doing for us. He's saying that this wasn't one of those. This is one of those agreed upon Gzeir Shavas. So how can you have an agreed upon Gzeir Shava and still argue? So let's go back to the Gemara.
Assumes that there is another
Gezeirah
Shava that would be...
Oh, so that's that, exactly. Meaning, could be Rabbi Yechon's got something else up his sleeve. But the Gemara is presenting itself by saying, listen, Rabbi Yechon, you've got to justify, because you're already starting behind the eight ball, because there's already Gezeirah Shava that says against you. So let's see what the Gemara answers to that.
I understand. If this was an accepted Gezeirah Shava, why did they have to come onto Ula first? Why didn't they just say, we understand, why did they start with Rabbi Yochanan and says, Ula has a Gzeir Shava, how are you getting out of it?
That's really, so according to the tradition, that's the words of the Gemara. What the Gemara says, Minola Rabbi Yochanan ha, what the Gemara really means to ask is, what are you going to do with the Ula's Gzeir Shava? That's basically the Gemara's kasha, according to the Taisa Shana. It doesn't read like that. The way it reads is, how does Rabbi Yochanan know his opinion? But according to the Taisa Shana, that's how you have to read the Gemara.
Because Rabbi Yochanan didn't comment on the Gezeirah Shavah.
Right.
Which could have only been that he said he had a Masorah
Shavah. Right, which is what the Taisa Shana is trying to deal with. Now keep in mind this Taisa Shana, and let's continue on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Menola Rabbi Yochanan, huh? Oh, Makra. Rabbi Yochanan says, I got my own stuff. Don't worry, I'm okay. So the Rabbi Yochanan, it says in the Pasuk, Kedei Risha, so he... It says in the pasuk, "Kedei rishos soi mishum rishachasata mechayv v'yata mechayv mishum shtei rishoyis." We have that famous drasha of "Kedei rishos soi," which we're all very familiar with. Now, right after that pasuk of "Kedei rishos soi," says Rabbi Yochanan, it says next to it, it says the words "Aboim yakenu." It says right next to that pasuk. The next pasuk is "Aboim yakenu." So,
but
therefore,
what trumps what?
Good. That's what I want to get to. Oh, we have to look at Seth in for a second. So therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, very simple. It says in the Torah, Kedei Rishasai. So the Torah tells me I can only give you one. And what's the next pasuk in the Chumash? Abarim Yakenu. So it's like the Torah's way of saying that when these two things come in conflict, always give the Malkus. That's Rabbi Yochanan knew, like Kiveinu Mishalim. Very gishmak. That's Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Now, there's only one problem with this pshat. According to the Taisa Yishanim, we didn't really answer anything. The Taisa Yishanim started off, you have Gezeirah Shavah. And what was your answer? I have a Smichus. So how do I know which one beats the other? Mecha Taisa. Who says Smichus beats Gezeirah Shavah?
Don't tell me you lost all three.
We lost
all three?
Not yet. We're getting there.
Is Smichus part of the Yid Gimel Midos turned Reshus?
No, not really.
So isn't there a hierarchy? Like, yeah, is the best.
I would have thought. And on top of that, we'll see. Bali Nedr, maybe not. I put it on the sheet somewhere here, on the second page. Where did I put it? We'll get to it. So first of all, there's a whole machloek is whether or not we're Darius Smichas. Now you have to remember, what does the Gemara say in Yevamos? What's the one sefer we're allowed to be Darius Smichas? What was the beginning of Yevamos? And everyone remembers the beginning of Yevamos.
90 days ago,
really. Sorry, too long. So the Gemara says in Yevamos, the beginning of Yevamos. Right, the Gemara says in the beginning of Yevamos that the only time you're allowed to be Darius Smichas, according to everyone, is Sefer Devarim. Where are these psukim found? Sefer Devarim. Why are you allowed to be Darius Smichas and Sefer Devarim? Because Sefer Devarim was Mishnah Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu did it. Okay, a lot of Torah over there. But in any case, these psukim are found in Sefer Devarim, which does mean you have the right to make Smichas. But again, we'll talk about this in a second. But if you read the psukim, it doesn't exactly sound like that's what the Torah is trying to tell you. The Torah is talking about Vahayim ben Akis in Russia, the famous pasuk, which somehow is referenced to Edim Zaymim. And then it says, Aboim Yakenu, Lo Yosef. So therefore, comes along the Birch and says, oh, I see from here that whenever the Torah says the word Kedir Shasim, right, the next pasuk is Aboim Yakenu. So I see that whenever the two things come in conflict, you give him Malkus. But how does that beat the Gzer Shavah? How did the Taisi Shonim answer the Kasha? According to the Taisi Shonim, the Gemara's Kasha was Rabbi Yochanan, what do you do with the Gzer Shavah? So his answer is, my Smichas beats the Gzer Shavah. That seems hard to imagine. A made-up smicha should beat a gzeirah shavah. Seems like it was a pretty legitimate gzeirah shavah. So if you learn the way we were learning, that everyone's just scrambling for svaras, meaning everyone had, the Gemara's kash was, I hear both ways, tell me your best. So Ula's best was a gzeirah shavah, and the Gemara says, I hear, okay, you have a gzeirah shavah. Rabbi Yochanan's response was, I have a smichas. So the Gemara says, okay, I accept it. I hear your svara, and you have a smichas, good. So now you're on, you survived. Ula, I hear your svara, and you have a gzeirah shavah, so you survived. But according to the Taisa Yishanim, I don't see how this smichas is a direct counter argument to the Gzeirah Shavah. So it's a shtickle tzarech yimami, and we'll see in a second in the Rishonim that this whole Gzeirah Shavah. Yeah.
Gzeirah Shavah, we need to have a Masorah. Maybe he just didn't have
a
Masorah
with
the Gzeirah Shavah.
So Taisa Shanim Bavarn that problem. You weren't there. Sorry, Seth. The Taisa Shanim says that he does have this Masorah. He has this from a Gemara in Bechairis. Taisa Shanim quotes from a Gemara in Bechairis that he has this Gzeirah Shavah.
Who has this?
That Rabbi Yochanan himself was open to this Gzeirah Shavah.
Oh.
Meaning not for this drasha.
Not argue. He holds from
he knows, he exists that there is a drasha called Tachas Tachas. Again, it's not for this topic, it's for something else.
Which
but
is a Rashi question on whether the Gezeirah
exactly. That's correct. Very good, right? That's right. Okay, so we'll come back to this in a little bit, maybe in a few minutes. But let's just see Rashi for a second. So Rashi, it's like the Torah tells you, right? You read the Chumash like this. It says in the Chumash Kedei Rishasai, and you're left with, well, which one? And then you read the next pasuk. Oh, it says Abayim Yakenu. Oh, fantastic! So now I know that whenever I'm in a dilemma of two punishments, I always go straight for the Malkus. Okay.
By the way, is it I mean, he could tell you better, but isn't there a hefsek there? How do you darshan one into the next? I think it's the end of a pasuk, or
it's the end of a pasuk.
So how do you do that?
Well, that's what smichas is, one pasuk next to the other pasuk. But we'll have to see in a second what that pasuk is really talking about. So we'll hold off for that for a moment. Let's just read the hemshach of the Gemara, and then we'll come back
so
and deal with everything.
So you know it's smichas, even though it's not a continuation of one thought.
Right. One pasuk, again, this is not a typical smichas. This is not the regular smichas that we have. Let's say the Torah writes two words next to each other. Here, in the Torah, two psukim next to each other.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Which makes the kash even stronger, because who says that beats out a Gzeira Shava?
Right.
Good. Yeah, 100%. So let's see. Let's just continue the Gemara, and then we'll come back to all the issues over here. So the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Yechon's got a big kash on his hands. What did Rabbi Yechon say? Whenever Mammon and Malchus come in conflict, it's like Yevein and Mishalim. There's only one pasuk. There's only one problem. In fact, the Gemara... what do you do with the parasha of Chavalah? Chavalah, it says clearly that when you're mazik a person, you get malchus. When you're mazik a person, you have to pay. And we know, we'll see in a second how we know this, but we all know this, that it's mishalim v'ein aloike. So according to you, Abiyachin, you hold it's always like v'ein mishalim, what do you do with Chavalah where the Torah says mishalim v'ein aloike? It's against your rule.
Everybody holds that.
Everyone holds that, yeah. That's what we're going to talk about.
So the Torah says
mishalim. Okay, good. So the question is, at what point is Abiyachin going to have to admit that if the Torah keeps on saying exceptions to his rule, then maybe his rule is flawed. So let's see. So the Gemara says, the first thing the Gemara comes up with a creative way. V'chitem, and maybe you'll tell me, Hanemili hechadole asrube, maybe the whole din of mammonis in the Chumash is only when you never gave the guy hasrafa malchus. So since you never gave him hasrafa malchus, he doesn't get the malchus. So since he doesn't get the malchus, that's why he has to pay. Aval esrube, but let's say in a charami, you warn the guy, say, listen, don't punch Reuven in the face. Because if you punch Reuven in the face, you're going to get malchus. And the guy says, I don't care, I really hate Reuven. He punches him in the face. So then in that case, the taka won't be a parsha of Chavalah. Meaning, Rabbi Yechon is suggesting that the entire parsha's Tashlum and Chamisha Dvarim that exists in our Chumash is only when you don't get Malchus. Why would you not get Malchus? Because you weren't Masmim. You came too late to the fight. You showed up to the fight, Reuven already decked Shimon in the face, Reuven never got Hasra. Okay, Reuven never got Hasra, he can't get Malchus. Oh, you don't get Malchus, now you have to pay. But lo yitzar, Reuven was about to deck Shimon, and some guy runs over and gives him Hasra, and he says, Aval Pikein, you know, Shimon deserves the knock in the face. Then, Ein Echrami, then there wouldn't be Mammonis. So why can't that
be? You need two of them,
though. Yeah. The question is, why can't that be? That's a very nice possibility, that the whole Chumash, where we talk about, you know, for example, the whole Perek HaChoyvel, right, learn the 8th Perek of Baba Kama. All about Chavala Bein Adam Lechaver. So according to Rabbi Yechon, that whole perek is only relevant when you're not giving Malchus. Why would you not give Malchus? Because you didn't give Masra. Can't be. Why can't it be? Says the Gemara, but it can't be. V'om Reb Ami, Om Reb Yechonon. Reb Ami quotes the name of Reb Yechonon. Our Reb Yechonon. What does Reb Yechonon say? Hakosh, let's say you hit a guy in a way that you didn't even cause a pruta worth of damage. You know, you tapped him on the shoulder. You patched, you know, like a bavad yourself patch on the face, right? That doesn't cause a pruta worth of damage. Now, the truth is, there's a big machloekes Rishonim over, which Blinet will have to deal with next week. When we say hakosh eimush of a pruta, does that mean all of the five things equal doesn't come to a pruta? We know there's five payments: nezik, tzar, riba, shevis, aboshes. So all five don't equal a pruta, or just the nezik doesn't equal a pruta. I mean, you can embarrass a guy, and that could be worth a lot of money, but you didn't harm him. You slap a guy across the face in front of a pack shul, right? So there's no nezik, there's no doctor bills, there's no missed work. But there's tons of boishes. More than a pruta worth of boishes. So when the Gemara says over here that the hakor that doesn't have a shava pruta, does it mean the nezek doesn't have a pruta? Or does it mean all of the five things combined don't have a pruta? If you go like
what
those...
does it mean that each of them...
I mean, does it mean...
In other words, that maybe four of them do.
So
if you're missing one, it's not enough.
Right, so according to Rashi, it means that all five combined don't equal a pruta. Which is, you have to imagine
yeah,
such a case. What did you do to the guy? I don't even know what you did to the guy.
But
you'd be over the Yosef. But you'd be over the laugh. I'd be over the laugh. According to some Rishonim, it means that the Nezek isn't worth a pruta. I mean, the boishes could be worth $1,000. Your mom should embarrass the guy in front of the whole shul. That's worth $1,000. But the Nezek, the damage that you caused, yeah, you slapped him across the face. There's no Nezek more than a pruta. There's no damage more than a pruta on a smack across the face. But you be yoy to the love of Yosef. So the Gemara says, if you hit a guy in a way where there's not a shava pruto, so halacha is loike. In that case, Rabbi Yechonon says you get malchus. Good. So the Gemara has an obvious kasha. In fact, the Gemara, what's the case? Says the Gemara.
That's not the obvious question.
The only case. No, you're over. Again, hakor, hitting a guy doesn't mean you cause him damage. Hitting means you hit him. You raise your hand and you slap him across the face. That would be Yosef. That would be a love.
Scary thing. Fixed three times.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so fact, Gemara, Hechidam.
Yeah, you just lost one.
Either layasru be, if you didn't warn him, so then I might like it. If you didn't warn the guy, you can't get malchus. You don't warn him. Elamai, you warned him. So elapshita da asubay. So fact, Gemara, if you warned him, the time of the less pesha of a pruta, it sounds like from the brisa that the only reason why you're getting malchus is because there wasn't a pruta worth of damage. Ha ispa shav a pruta, but if the taka would be a pruta worth of damage, then the moinim shalom milk lelaki. So fact, Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan himself said this. So if Rabbi Yochanan himself agrees that whenever there's mammonis, it's going to be mammon, they ain't in malchus. So how does Rabbi Yochanan learn the Chumash? Chumash says, by Chavala, you pay, you don't get malchus. If Rabbi Yochanan cheats, you always get malchus and don't pay. How could Rabbi Yochanan argue on the Torah? So the Gemara comes up with a chap. Says the Gemara, Kida'oma Rabbi Loi, Befeirish Ribsa Torah, Edim Zayim L'Tashlumi. The Torah made an exception to the rule, we're by Edim Zayim. And therefore, Hachanami Befeirish Ribsa Torah, Chayval Bechaveir L'Tashlumi. Says the Gemara, there's two exceptions to the rule. One exception to the rule is Edim Zayimim. There the Torah says explicitly that even though there's Malkus, you still have to pay. And the second exception to the rule is Chavala. So this is always like the kasha I have on the Bechon. Now if you have two exceptions to the rule, at what point do you ask yourself, maybe my rule is really wrong? Right? I mean, if a kid comes to his Rebbe and tells his Rebbe Shtigl Torah, and the Rebbe has two kashas on him. And each time the kid says, no, that's different. So one time maybe. You do that twice, at some point you say to yourself, well, maybe something's wrong.
Because there's not that many.
Exactly, there's not that many to start off with. So your rule is very limited to your exceptions. So it's a shtickle tzarechin I have on Rabbi Yochanan Shita over there. Rabbi Yochanan says that I have this rule, but I have two exceptions. You know, that's a chiddush. Bishlam, according to Ula, is very good. According to Ula, I don't have any exceptions. I always hold Mishal and Benalike.
But you could argue that. What do you have to state? Like the exceptions? The
oh, good. That's a kasha. That's a kasha some people have. That the fact that there's so many exceptions. Maybe that's the right that Rabbi Yochanan is right. Okay, we'll talk about that. We're showing Master Kash. But this is the Gemara. The Gemara's answer to Rabbi Yochanan is, I have exceptions. I have an exception by Chavolo. I have what's called Beferish Rib Satir. I have a special Xerza Kosov, which we can read. It's not so relevant. There's a special Xerza Kosov. Whatever it is, we'll accept it as Xerza Kosov that says that by Chavolo, Momon pays even though, and you won't get Malkus. And there's also an exception when it comes to Edim Zayim. Now, if you look in the Shita Mekubetzes over here, number 3, he goes back to Rabbi Yochanan's original premise. Again, Rabbi Yochanan had a smichus, and together with Rabbi Yochanan's smichus, he had exceptions. So the Gemara asks, the Rishonim have a kasha, the Shita Mekubetzes has this kasha, like this. In fact, the Shita Mekubetzes, the whole smichus doesn't get off the ground. What was his smichus? It says the word Kedei Rishonsoi, and right next to it, it says, Avoyim Layakenu. In fact, the Shita Mekubetzes says, Ein Lahakshas, don't ask me, Da Arboim Yakenu Be'edim Zayim Yuxiv. If you actually looked up that pasuk in Chumash, it says Arboim Yakenu. It's not talking about Stam Malkus. It's talking about Arboim Yakenu for Edim Zoymim. Whoa, Edim Zoymim? What do we say about Edim Zoymim? We said Edim Zoymim is always the exception where Mishalim ve'ena like it. So Rabbi Yochanan is learning a smichas to tell me that whenever you have Mammon and Malkus, you give the Malkus and you don't give the Mammon. Where's he learning it from? Edim Zoymim. Edim Zoymim is the exact reverse on this. By Edim Zoymim, it's Mishalim Ve'en Alaykin, not like Ve'en Mishalim.
What's the pasuk for Edim Zoymim that tells us
that? It says in the pasuk, Vahaya in Ben Hakkais Arasha, if you will hit the Rasha.
Right.
And then it says right next to that, Kedei Rishasai, Aboy Me'akenu. So we learn from that pasuk, Vahaya in Ben Hakkais Arasha, if you're going to hit the evil person, that's referring to Malkus for Edim Zoymim.
How do you see the Edim Zoymim?
So that's the Gemara Drasha. The Gemara makes that Drasha Malkus Daf Beis. Maybe we'll come back to it at some point, but that's the Gemara makes the Drasha. So Frek, the Shittim Kobet says, you're learning from Edim Zoymim to give Malkus instead of Mammon, if Edim Zoymim is the exception to the rule where you pay and don't get Malkus. How could that be?
Is there Abraham Yakenu? Is it Osasom Sherpadisho?
No, he's learning from the Abraham Yakenu that says next to the Pasuk of Kedei Rishasai.
I don't even... Oh, I see. Okay.
That's his Smichos. So he answers no. And for the Shittim Kobet says, Da Kedei Rishasai b'chol shtei Rishoyes Mairi. Va'alo koi Abraham Yakenu. So I'm not sure what he means. To me, it sounds like the Shittim Mekubetzes is saying that the way you have to read the Chumash is like this. Don't look at the type of Malkus that the Torah is describing. Look at the words, Arboim Yakenu. I mean, look at the words. The Torah says, Arboim Yakenu, give Malkus. So we read the Chumash like this. Kedei Rishasai, well, I don't know which one to give. Arboim Yakenu. Either Arboim Yakenu is talking about Edim Zoyim, and Edim Zoyim doesn't actually get Malkus. That's not the way you're supposed to read the Smichas. You read the Smichas as Taich. Kedei Rishasai, well, which one do I give? I give that Arboim Yakenu. So basically, don't look at the background of the Chumash, look at the actual text of the Chumash. That's what I think the Shita Mekubetzes seems to answer. Now, it's interesting, if you look in the Haflo over here, I can't fight with this thing. If you look in the haflah, if you look in the haflah over here, the number four, he comes up with a different chap. He writes, the Edim Zoymim im ribsa toiro litashlumin, that we know that by Edim Zoymim there's a special xeris akosov that you have tashlumin, hainu miloisane. That's only from the lav of loisane. Now this is something we need to get into much more. Every time a guy lies in front of Bezdin, what was he over? What aver did he transgress? Meaning, what's the malchus by Edim Zoymim? So Rashi told us on the basis from the lav of loisane. The problem is, we're going to see a Gemara later on where the Gemara seems like it's from a different pasuk of Haya Im Ben Hakai Se Rasha. Well, so which one is it? So the Haflah wants to say like this. If a guy...
Did you learn lying out of Haya Ben Hakai Se Rasha?
Yeah, that's because Gemara says you're giving him Malkus. It says in the pasuk...
No, that's just the punishment. That doesn't tell you he's not lying. Yeah, but Sana means you're
no, but where do you see from that? I mean, that's where you're getting the Malkus from. The Haya Ben Hakai Se Rasha is where you learn the Malkus from, not from the Loisana.
Right.
If you have Loisana, I don't even Haya Ben Hakai Se Rasha, right? This is not working. Okay.
But yeah. By Adam Zomimim, that Shalom and Aloka,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not unique to Shalom. It applies to any kind of case with Adam Zomimim. So if they wanted him to get killed, they kill them. In other words, it's not totally in the money just when they're Mishalim, it's only because that's what they wanted
Correct.
To lose.
Correct.
If they wanted to lose something else, like if they wanted to his life,
that also
they do with Mammon.
That's right. That's correct.
So it's not really an exception.
Okay.
It doesn't go after the... It's not an issue of mama.
So you're asking about...
You're just getting what you wanted to cause.
That's what B'chonon's kasha. B'chonon has his kasha. That Edom Zayim, behold, the whole... The mumminess that you give by Edom Zayim is not because we hold Mishalim and Aloike. It's because we hold this thing called kasha zama.
Yeah.
And you got to do what you wanted to do. And since you wanted to cause him a loss, giving him Malkus doesn't fulfill what you want. Meaning, Loisane wasn't... You don't get Malkus because you wanted to give him Malkus. You got Malkus because you lied. Now, there's a new chiddush in Edom Zayim called "Give to you what you tried to give to him."
Right.
So that's why he has to pay.
Right.
Good. That's what B'chonon's kash. B'chonon has that kash. It's based on the Tosfos. It's a very good kash. It's a very strong kash. Now, I'm sorry, not B'chonon. Forget it. Abchaim has his kash. Not B'chonon. I'm sorry. Abchaim has his kash. Abchaim has his kash. It's a very strong kash. Edom Zayim is b'chlal not the same category because by Edom Zayim the chiddush is there's a din called kash zoma. Kasha Zomam is not Stam Achi of Mominus. Kasha Zomam is do unto him what he wanted to do to you. So if I'm going to play a Kimle card, I'm not fulfilling the Ratzon HaTorah. Yeah, that's a very strong Kasha. I don't know if we ever spoke, it was on one of the sheets, I don't know if we ever got to, but Reb Chaim in Stencil has this Kasha. Reb Chaim has this Kasha. A very strong Kasha. Yeah, Kasha Zomam is Stam is a strange phenomenon.
But
yeah.
It
could be he does. Could be heard from Reb Chaim also. I don't know. It's a good Kasha. Okay, so we'll leave off with this haflah. Maybe we'll come back to the haflah. I see it's getting later than I wanted. So let's go back for a second. Let's clear a hakira. Good. Now we got the hakira. What does the Gemara mean when it says beferish rib satir? Rabbi Yochanan and Ula all agree that when it comes to chavala b'chaveroi, everyone agrees mishalim ben alike. According to Ula, we always do that. According to Rabbi Yochanan, this is the exception to the rule. But you can clear a shtickle hakira. How do you learn the words of the Gemara? Beferish rib satir. I have a special exercise at Kasim. So what are the two ways to learn the Gemara? So you can learn the Gemara one of two ways. One way to learn the Gemara is what the Gemara is saying is that the mumminess of Chavala is very important. Daimit to what we saw from Taisvis and Chazinish is that by Chavala, the Torah's main concern is be memala chasar. You cause the hezek, make it right. Fix up the damage. So therefore, the Torah says, listen, I have two things over here. You punch the guy in the face, and you cause him a loss. So the Torah is saying, I want you to pay him over your malchus because I'm worried about his money. So it's not the pshat that the lav of Eli Yosef is weaker, it's the Chiv Tashlumin is stronger. That's one way to learn the Gemara. The other way to learn the Gemara, we'll see this really great, a third way to learn the Gemara. The second way to learn the Gemara in our Hakir is no. It's not that the Mominus is so strong, it's that the lav of Eli Yosef is weak. There's something lacking in the lav of Eli Yosef. What's so weak about the lav of Eli Yosef? We spoke about this, that what? The Gemara says, it's Hutra Mecholish of Bezdin. There's sometimes you're allowed to bypass the lav. So therefore, it's not the pshat that the mumminess is so strong, it's that the lav is weak. Now, what are the two different ways of looking at it? What's the nafkamina?
How about if it's less than a shavuot? Wouldn't that be a nafkamina?
No, because even if it's less than a shavuot, there's no chiv mumminess. You'd have to have a chiv mumminess to start. The nafkamina means, let's say it's a different lav. Mm-hmm. Let's say I put up against it a different lav. Not the lav of Eli Yosef, but a different lav. The moshel, let's say, yichoyvel b'chaveireb yom ha-kippurim. So yichoyvel yifendi yom kippur, so besides the lav of Eli Yosef, there's another lav. You did melacha on yom kippur.
Or
if you hit a parent, that's not going to be a lav. Yeah, well, it's going to have kares, right. That'll also be true. It could be there's a lav there also, right. Another nafkamina, right.
So we brought this before.
Yes, we brought this before. We'll come back to it now. So let's take a look quickly, number five. So number five over here, the Sefer HaTerah Shmuel, he quotes his Chakira. We can learn this in one of two ways. One way to learn it, this is trying to give me a headache. One way to learn it is that the mominus is so important, and because the Torah wants so badly to give the mominus to the Nizik, the Torah says, I give the money to the Nizik, even though, and that's why you don't get Malkus. The reason why, again, you can't have both, you got to choose. So Beferish Ripsa Torah means the Torah chose the mominus over the Malkus because the mominus is so important. Why is the mominus so important? Because we want to make people whole. You cause the Hezek, you got to be Mafsi. V'hainu, the momen the chavola poiteres amalkus. That's one way of learning. Oy, the havi mitzar halav. Or the pshat is that the lav is weak. Why? The halav the chavola kal. Because there's a leniency to the lav is not so strong. So when this mominus comes up against this lav, the mominus is stronger than the lav. Say, he points out, like we just said, what would be the nafkamina between these two stardom? Is let's say I have mominus against another lav. Not the lav of Eliyosef, but another lav. If you're mazik someone on Yom Kippur. If the pshat is that the lav of Eliyosef is weak, that's only when the lav is chavol is weak. So this would be a very simple nafkamina. The nafkamina and how you understand the b'yechanan would be, what do you do in a case where it's a different type of lav? It's not the lav of Lo Yosef, but it's another lav.
Why do you always ask that he hit him on Yom Kippur? Why not just on Shabbos?
Because there's no lav to hit someone on Shabbos. Chavol is not, it's not a lav over there. It's a Mises Bezdin. Yom Kippur is Karis. So whenever there's Karis, there's always a lav also. But Shabbos is Mises Bezdin. There's no lav there. So if you punch someone in the face on Shabbos and you warn him, if you punch him in the face, you get Malkus. You don't get Malkus for hitting him. Because Malkus, Shabbos is Mises Bezdin. Mises Bezdin doesn't get Malkus. Karis gets Malkus.
This could have been Yom Tov.
Could have been Yom Tov also, yeah. Yom Tov for Yom Kippur.
So if you violate Yom Kippur, it gets Karis.
Yes.
But if you violate Shabbos, it's Mises Bezdin.
Right, that's the Mishnah in Megillah. But the Mishnah says the difference. Right, the Mishnah says in Megillah, the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Shabbos is Mises Bezdin, and Yom Kippur is Karis.
Yom Tov would have been a better example, because it's straight to Lav, no Karis.
Okay.
And no Hasra issue.
It's true. I guess the chiddush of Yom Kippur is that even though there is a Karis in the backdrop, maybe.
It teaches you that.
Maybe. So let's take a look at the Rambam. Zok the Rambam, very important Rambam.
But Rabbi, why is the Lav kill? Why are you saying this Lav is weaker?
Because the Gemara said in Raman Aleph that this Lav sometimes can be circumvented. Bezdin hutra mechloli bebezdin, which we had a big machloik, is what that means. No, this Lav, so we had a machloik in the Gemara, so everyone remembers we had a lot of different ways of learning the Gemara, but one way to learn the Gemara was that sometimes Bezdin is allowed to hit people not as a punishment. Let's say, for example, the way the Chassam Sofer learned. Sometimes they can, rough a guy up to get him to do something. So you see that Bezin is allowed to sometimes. Or you can learn the Gemara like Rabbi Chonon learned the Gemara, that Bezin can give Malkus, or father can hit the son.
Did they say in Tanasim, or whatever, I guess Jewish history, they kill people
yeah.
in order to basically.
That was the Rambam. We quoted this Rambam based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin. I said that Bezin could do extreme things to keep the order, right. So let's see this Rambam together. Zok the Rambam, Hilchas Choy V'Lomazim. I believe it's Perek Dalet. Zok the Rambam. A person beats up his friend on Yom Kippur. I feel amazed. Wow, what a way to spend Yom Kippur. Okay. A guy beats up his friend on Yom Kippur. He does it on purpose. What do we do with him? He still needs to pay for the damage. What's the chiddush? Even though he transgressed an avera, that gives Malkus. Normally the rule of thumb is whenever Malkus and Mominus come in conflict, you give the Malkus and not the Mominus. So who does the Rambam pass like Mefurash? Like Ibrahiman. Black and white, he says clear. He says, even though the rule of thumb is normally that when Malkus and Tashlumin, Loike Ve'el Mishalim. So the Rambam pass like Ibrahiman. Shein Adam Loike Mishalim. Ka Chem Hadvarim Bechoil. That's the rule by everything. Except for Chavala. Shehu Mishalim. Over there, the rules are different. There, it's Mishalim ve'ein alike. Why? Sharei Beferish Ribsa Teiru Chayvel Bechaveri Tashlumin. Because you have a special Beferish Ribsa Teiru. The Torah goes out of its way to teach me that when it comes to person to person contact, you have to pay and you don't get Malkus. Okay. So, well, Chayra, what did the Rambam just tell us? The Rambam said two major Chedushim. Chedush number one, the Rambam passing like a Bechon over Ula. Good. Chiddush number two is the Rambam says that when you mazik someone on Yom Kippur, what's the lav on Yom Kippur? It's not Lo Yosef. It's Yom Tif. It's Yom Kippur. And still the Rambam says we apply the rule of Beferish Ribsa Teira that Mamam Mishal Nevein Aloikim. So, Lechir, what do you see from this Rambam? How did the Rambam understand the fellowship of the Torah? Not that the lav of Yosef is weak, but that the mominus is so strong. Because if the Rambam understood it, because the lav is weak, but this is not Yosef lav, this is the lav of Yom Kippur. That's a pretty strong lav. Elamai, the Rambam must have learned that it's not about the strength or the weaknesses of the lav, it's the strength of the mominus. That this mominus is so important, it's so strong, it's so valuable, that no matter what you do, this mominus has to win out in all scenarios. Even if you have a asura. Right, even though
because if I damage your property, I don't need hasra to have to be able to pay you.
That's correct.
If I damage your body, I also don't have to have hasra to have to pay you.
But I need hasra to get malchus.
I need hasra to get malchus, but I still have to, but the payment would.
Did I hear you just say
that even if I got hasra, you would still pay?
Yes, because there's a special gzeis hakasa by
chamos. Because fundamentally, reimbursing somebody for the damage you caused them, whether it's property or whether it's a person over. Trumps
should
anything else
should that's where the Rambam learned the Gemara. The Rambam's opinion on the Gemara is that paying back money is the most important thing. It beats out everything, no matter what. Very good.
But why wouldn't they give the option to the base? I mean, that's a kind of a nice. If you gave a general ability for to apply their, you know, whatever, how that's preferable or when it's beneficial, why would they? And why would the Torah do this?
I mean, why does the Torah do it over here?
No, I know you can't answer that question, but I'm saying there's something. What's something special? It seems to be outside of it. Almost negates their ability to do.
Wait, according to Birchman.
Yeah.
According to Birchman, you start off with a premise of Leikiv and Mesham, then you come to the exceptions. So Chavala is an exception. So your question is, why is Chavala an exception? Or
no, I'm saying if there's a general allowance for Bestin, right, to make their decision. Over here, the Torah is not trusting
Bezdin. Right. Bezdin. It's not Bezdin. This is the Torah's
talking. No, I'm saying the Torah is saying, even in this case, we're you know, I guess my question is like, how's Chavala, like, why that case?
Why they pick this one?
This one.
Yeah. According to Rabbi Yechon, there's two places in the Torah that for some reason the Torah decided to worry about the victim.
It's strange,
according to. So again, if we go like the Chazon Ish, that it's all about, you know, filling up a loss, so we can understand it from a human, personal type of idea. Listen, the guy's out money, so we'd rather, you know, make him whole instead of you getting malchus. But there's one, everybody says, one big problem with this Rambam. A major, major problem in the whole sugya. And this kasha is brought up by many G'dayli Achronim. To the best of my knowledge, the earliest Achron who discusses it, maybe not the, one of the big Achronim we talk about is the Chumash Akri. I don't know if anyone remembers who the Chumash Akri was. Chumash Akri, Michael Afti, you know, he didn't want to answer this one. Chumash Akri was the brother of the Ketzais HaChoshen. The brother of the Ketzais. Famous Ketzais. He wrote another very famous sefer called the Kuntres HaSveikas. If you ever learned Bar Metzion in Yeshiva, I'm sure you learned the Kuntres HaSveikas. He has these great, great Lamda Shavarts about Sveikas and stuff. But the Chumash Akri. So he has this kasha. He says, one second. What comes out according to this Rambam? According to this Rambam, it comes out the following Lamdas. That Mominus beats, when it comes to damaging a human being, Mamnus beats up no matter what you put up against it. You put up Loyosef, you put up Yom Kippur, Mamnus always wins.
That would apply to Ma'anis.
Ah, there we go. So, Frek, the Chumash Akri, one second. What did it say in our Gemara according to Abyechon? Gemara said according to Abyechon, if you were gave him Hasra, you warned him that if you're Ma'anis, your sister, you're going to get Malchus. And the guy goes through with it, the Halacha is in that case, Loikiv Ein Mishal. Why? But he says, one second. Every time you ma'anis a girl, so there's also a knas, there's also what we call boishes u'pagam. Boishes u'pagam means the embarrassment that she went through by being violated, and the pagam, the devaluing of a girl who now is no longer a basula. Those two payments, we would have assumed, are what type of payments? Damage, chavala. Right? So you just told me that when it comes to the world of chavala, chavala beats up whatever you put it up against. So why doesn't it beat out the malchus of living with your sister? It should beat out everything.
What's the possibility? Maybe it's because you have that you're able to marry because you like to do sister. Away with me.
Well, you can't because she's your sister. But more than that, but the boishes of begam payment is irrelevant of the isser that you lived with him. So it without this
kabbalah, then you have to know
right. So
what is kabbalah? How do you define kabbalah?
Is it a punch in the face?
What constitutes kabbalah?
So okay, so if I told you that you when you're ma'anis a girl, you have to pay her for boishes for embarrassment. Embarrassment we know is one of the five. That's clear. Pigam means you devalued her. Devalued would be similar to Nezek. Right, this girl could have been worth $200. Now she's worth $100 because she was living with a man.
But it's not is it Pagam exactly Nezek?
Good. We'll come back to that.
Is
we'll come back to
exactly Nezek?
Pagam is exactly Nezek. Right? Yeah, it's a fancy version of Nezek. So, why not?
It's a different form of
Gavaldik. I think where you're heading is a similar story we're going to see from Reb Shimon. That where Mr. Freeman's going with this is that there's a different type of process when you're ma'anis a girl when you punch someone in the face. Even though the end result is damage, but it's a different mahos. Which will come.
Ma'anis
is rape. Yeah, rape. Ma'anis is rape. Mefata
is. No,
is
it consensual?
No, ma'anis is not mefata. No, it's rape.
Right. So how is ma'anis not a nezek?
Exactly, it is.
No, like punching in the face.
Oh, good. Good. That's the kasha of the Achorim. That's the kasha of the Truma Sakri. The kasha we'll see the deceivers. That's the kasha.
Fata, maybe.
Maybe. Good. So, again, why is this kasha only shver after we brought in this Rambam? Because without this Rambam, you could have learned the Gemara very simple. Beferish Rubis the Torah means that the Torah says that Mammon is up against La Yosef. Mammon is beats La Yosef because La Yosef is weak. But in the Sugya of Yom Kippur, it's not Mammonus against La Yosef, it's Mammonus against Yom Kippur. In our Sugya, it's Mammonus against the Lav of Loisikhul Galus Ervasa. Who says Mammonus beats out that Lav? But once the Rambam introduced us to this notion that the Mammonus beats everything no matter what you put it up against, so now you have Shvar Gemara. In our Gemara, you have a Lav of living with your sister, you have a Chiyav Boishis Upagam, which is Mammonus. Why doesn't that Mammonus Chiyav beat out the Lav of living with your sister? And now Lacha Shavim, Mishal and Ve'ena Loike, not Loike Ve'ena Mishal. That's the kasha. Okay. So let's see what the Truma Sakri says to this kasha. Truma Sakri, Michael, who's the Truma Sakri?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? Okay.
We don't know.
The old man knows. Now they know.
Who's the Truma Sakri?
Everybody knows that.
The brother of the
Ktsais. Oh, okay. But I can tell you how Tar Shmuel is.
Who's the Tar Shmuel?
Mordechai Rosenberg, no?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah. So he was before, number five.
Number five, come on.
So let's see the Truma Sakri.
Because you didn't say who he was.
Yeah, we've quoted him before.
Yeah, he's the guy from Lakewood.
Yeah, I think he's a Resh Chabur in Lakewood. So let's see the Truma Sakri number seven. Frank, the Truma Sakri, Ulah Rambam Vator this week. According to the Rambam in the Torah, that hold. In fact, the Truma Sakri Arkasha, according to the Rambam and the Torah, that both hold. That the svar of a Satari means that the mominus beats out whatever you throw up against it. So Im Kane, it should also beat out the lava living with your sister, which means if you're master the guy. What did Bi'echlan say? Bi'echlan said if you master the guy before he's ma'anis the sister, that if you live with your sister, you get malchus. The guy says, I don't care. He's like you then in Mishalim. But according to this Chajmin Frakta Truma Sakri, according to this Rambam, it should be Mishalim and I don't like it. It should be Beferish Satari, like Chavolo. So says the Truma Sakri, what's his answer? So he said, "Tzarich loyma the svile the boishes begam the nara lav derara the hachoyvel hu." So what's the Truma Sakri? It's very vague words. It's not the boishes begam that you give when you're ma'anis a girl is not like punching someone in the face. Why? But he doesn't tell us why. He just tells us the facts. The facts are that we don't look at the boishes begam the same way we do when you punch someone in the face.
Why are we even looking at boishes begam?
Because that's what
you
get.
Why are we looking at the physical nezek? Of being ma'anis,
which is a girl. That's what I mean by that.
No. There's more than just the pagam is the feelings, right?
No. The pagam is her value, which is what nezek is.
That's not physical.
No, it is. No. She's worth less money now.
But that's not physical. That's a damage. It's a loss.
That's a damage.
But it's not physical.
Right?
When you
punch
somebody in the face,
if I embarrass you,
you're
going to be able to less. No, the Gemara says he's worth less. He's
sold
to
you.
Yes. No, yes. What you're thinking of is his doctor bills, and that's a different payment.
I'm talking about you broke my cheek.
So why do you get paid for that?
Because I had a cheek that wasn't broken, and now I have a cheek. And why is it different than if you broke my lamp?
No. And then when you're worth less, that's exactly the point. You devalued, just like your lamp devalued. So this girl devalued also. On the shidduch scene, she's now a lower level, 100%.
So the physical pain that you caused the person has nothing to do with the damage.
That's called tsar. It's a separate payment. Right. All of the five payments correspond to a different element of what's going on. So the Truma Sakri doesn't give us a lumbus. He just tells us a fact. And the facts are it's different. The boish is begam.
Baba? Maybe because it's a knas involved.
The boish is begam. The boish is begam part is not knas.
I know.
This is besides the
knas. Why is the knas involved?
So if everyone remembers,
one second, are you then saying that if somebody's ma'anis a girl,
yeah,
right, there may not be any boishes because nobody may know about it?
No, I didn't say there. No, avada there is. The question just is, do you look at that payment the same way you look at the payment of punching someone in the face? That's my question.
But if you just told me that hitting somebody in the face devalues him,
yes.
then how is that different than being Makasa girl?
Exactly.
Also the value.
Exactly, 100%. I'm making the kasha stronger. I'm making the kasha stronger. Again, the Truma Sakri tells us of a Yisoid, which we need to be Masber. His Yisoid is they're not the same. Thank you very much. How are they not the same? He's not Masberit. Okay, so let's see.
What is the definition of Chavala that comes down to that?
Good, good, good. What does it mean to damage someone? What is damage?
Well, maybe the difference is whether it appears to the how it appears to the public. Meaning, when you punch somebody in the face, the guy walks around like this. You're ma'anis the girl. Nobody knows what you did.
Again, the Torah says that when you're ma'anis the girl, you have to pay what's called boishes and pagan. That's on the books.
But there's not boishes.
There is. The Gemara says there is. We're not debating that. We're not debating the Torah. We're accepting what the Torah says. The Torah says when you're ma'anis the girl, you got to pay for her devaluing and the pain and embarrassment that she went through.
What's the pasuk in the Torah about the chol?
Torah doesn't say. No, doesn't say anything. It says kishi. Well, we didn't get this anything. When it says the lashon yitim kashi yitim mum va'adam ken yinasim boy. So one makes a lashon the sin ol yad is money. Okay, that's the whole shebang. Now, so what's the fundamental difference between punching someone in the face and being ma'anis someone? So the Truma Sakri doesn't help us. So let's see the Beis Yankiv. The Beis Yankiv, I already told you who wrote it. That was a cheating. That was the Nesivos, right? The Ravam Lisa, the great Nesivos HaMishpat that we often quote. So Zokta Nesivos, he has the same kasha.
Did he argue on the Truma Sakri the way he argues on the
kasha? On his brother, yeah. I don't know. So he doesn't argue, he bavarns the same kasha. Again, everyone has the same kasha over here. What's the same kasha? If you hold like this Rambam, that the mominess is so important that beats out whatever you throw up against it. So how do you ever have boishes begam when you're ma'anis your sister? When you're ma'anis your sister, you have boishes begam. The boishes begam should beat out the lav. It shouldn't be loike, it should be anal loike. Says the Nesivos, number 8. Vitzarech loima. Talk about a cop-out. Says the Nesivos, we had a Gemara. The Gemara says when you have a Shoita, there's no Baishas Begam for a Shoita. This is a Gemara. This is not me. This is a Gemara. The girl you were Ma'anis. The girl he was Ma'anis was a Shoita. So the Gemara says when you're Ma'anis, the girl is a Shoita, there's no Baishas Begam. So Zakta Nesivos, Rabbi Yochanan will have to make a massive Akimta. Then when that Mishnah says that you're Ma'anis a girl, you get Malkus, the Enel Mishalim is Dafka case of a Shaita. Says the Nesivos.
If she wasn't a Shaita, then
the Echlami.
Why? We already had that.
We had that in the Gemara. 100%. It's not crazy what he's. 100%. It's not. He says, Pirish Mayrib Shaita, the Mloite Mahochi Kosho, the Boishes Begam Choyvalu. So again, his Kasha, he's sticking to his guns. He's saying, Avada, Boishes Begam is regular Chavola. So I'll have to make an Akimta that it's talking about a Shaita.
One thing, this is the Gemara that says this b'shaita?
Yes. We have that Gemara on
Beis Malach. Who's talking about shaita? The Gemara, the Torah?
That when, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Mishnah that says that if you warn the guy before he's ma'anis his sister, he says, don't be ma'anis his sister, if ma'anis his sister, you get Malkus. He says, I'm okay, he's ma'anis his sister, he gets Malkus. It's talking about when there is no b'shaita b'gam. Because if there were to be b'shaita b'gam,
it's not
if there were to be b'shaita b'gam, that b'shaita b'gam would beat out the laugh. Which means, it's in a kinta.
Right.
But which means in Lomdis, he agrees in Lomdis that Boishes Begam is like Chaval. But Inami, he says, Inami, the Muchach Kedas Rivam, the Boishes Begam, Loi Dami L'Chaival. He says, Inami, another answer is no. Your whole premise is wrong. That there's a difference between Boishes Begam and Chaval. Now, what is the difference? Yeah?
If you just hit a guy, what's the difference between that and being modest?
100%.
Same
exactly.
Boishes and Begam.
Should be. So it comes along with Shimon. Reb Shimon doesn't need an introduction. We all know who Reb Shimon Shkap was. So Reb Shimon, I'm still upset there's a podcast. I'm not going to say the name of the podcast. Where he talks about Reb Shimon's life. And he ends off, he says, it's so sad, Reb Shimon never left a legacy. He says, that's Reb Shimon never
left a legacy. Shartar?
My whole yeshiva, my whole education was based on his great-grandson. What do you mean he's not a legacy? He left a grandson-in-law who was a big Talmud Chacham Zelig Epstein, who had a son of Kalman Epstein, who was my Rebbe, still my Rebbe, who teaches Torah every single day, has many, many hundreds of Talmidim. As I chutzpah say, Reb Shimon never left a legacy. I don't know. We'll learn Reb Shimon today.
We should ban the podcast.
I'm very upset about the podcast. Okay, in any case, I still listen. I really should stop listening. But in any case, the guy gives a history podcast. So one time he interviewed Reb Shimon. And I was listening to the whole podcast. It just bothered me. Besides the fact that a lot of facts he had wrong, he tells Reb Shimon had a son who moved to Toronto who wasn't from, that he was from. He made up that story. Okay, you know, you have to take everything on these podcasts with a large grain of salt. Because the more you know, the more you know that they're not telling the accurate truth. But I was very upset. Reb Shimon, he said, it's so sad Reb Shimon didn't leave a legacy. I said, chutzpah. He has yeshiva named after his yeshiva that wasn't Geronda. What do you mean? He has 150, 200 Talmidim every single year. I don't know what he means Reb Shimon didn't leave a legacy. Very insulting comment. But in any case, so he writes over here. Let's see what Reb Shimon says.
Dr. Reb Shimon. About all his Talmidim and all the yeshivas?
Yeah, there's tons. Shmuel Rozovsky was a Talmud of Reb Shimon.
Right.
The whole Torah in Eretz Yisrael was based on Reb Shmuel's way of learning, which was really Reb Shimon's way of learning. The whole Ponovich's style. The whole thing is ridiculous. Okay. I should really stop listening to him. But in any case, Reb Shimon writes like this. Reb Shimon. Yeah.
now we're going to run it.
So Reb Shimon says a gevaldige chiddush over here. Reb Shimon says, Reb Shimon's bothered with the same kash. What's the difference between being choyv a person and being honest about it? So Reb Shimon. Well, then he's directly the Haramam Sovet that didn't choyv a leka bainus mafat. There's no chavala bainus mafat. Got a clear shayla, Reb Shimon says. When you're honest a girl, are you choyv a lo Yosef? Stam, curious. Honest a girl. Are you the lav? That's the lav of punching someone in the face. Are you over that every single time you're minus a girl?
No.
You're not. Well, clearly not. We never, you should be, right?
100%.
Why shouldn't you be, right? Zok Tim Shimon, you're not.
Wait a minute, one second, hold on. Would it make a difference whether it's the first time, whether she was Absul or not?
It's only by Absul. I mean, this Mephat is only by Absul.
So it's only by Absul?
No, but
so when you're doing it's not a punch, in the normal,
good,
normal
good,
thing,
good, good, good,
good. The other one, it's not normal to punch somebody.
It's not normal to force yourself on someone either.
Yeah, but
the mindset that you did is a normal mindset.
Good, good. So let's see. We'll see. Talk to Shimon. The chavola have irakim odom chayvul bechaver. Shimon says a different svar. Shimon says the svar like this, which I think needs a little bit more hesber. We'll see what Chaim and I think Michael will get into was the stipler svar. But let's see with Shimon first. Well, then he's daiti da Ramam sov the din choyva leka bonis mafad. Dr. Shimon, the Ramam holds there's no isra chavola when you're ma'anas a girl. Listen, I'm not giving the guy shlishi in shul, but he's not over lo Yosef. He doesn't get malchus for being someone else. Dr. Rambam, Dr. Shimon, the chavola have irakim odom choyva bechaveru lahazikoi to damage him. Aval bo'indus umafate shahachavola nasis aide bio. Shuderech tashmish odom lahana osay. It's a whole different action. The background of the story is different. I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm trying to get self-pleasure. When I punch you in the face, my ganze kavona is to hurt you. When you're honest a girl, your intention is not to hurt her. Your intention is self-pleasure. So Reb Shimon, shuderech tashmish odom lahana osay, eino b'chal choyv el b'chal nizokin. That's not called chavola. That's called damage. Again, it's like you break a guy's car. That's not called chayvul b'chaveiroi. So Reb Shimon, that's the lomdus of oynes mafat. And he says, I'll prove it to you.
It's not a din in the yisha, it's a din in the...
He's saying that the definition of lo yosef is when you hit someone for the purpose of hitting them. Not because you want to get some pleasure out of them. I guess if you have a sick person who enjoys hitting people, right? I mean, that would be an afkamina. According to Reb Shimon, the whole, again, you have to remember.
The whole root is within Bezdin's
Havala. So you have to remember, there's another Rambam. Everyone remember this famous Rambam. The Rambam says, you only over Le Yosef if you're hitting him, Derech Mitzayin. You're doing it as like a fight. When you're honest, girl, you're not doing it because you're in a fight with her. You're doing it because you want to get physical pleasure from her. So Reb Shimon, therefore, you're not really in a violation of Le Yosef. Therefore, the Boishes Upagam is not a mominous type of Chiv. There is mominous Boishes Upagam. We're not denying that. But it's not stemming from the love of Leah.
Isn't it rape resistance?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Isn't it?
Of course it's resistance.
Yeah, so that's a fight too.
It's not. You're not
hitting him. No, but it's a fight. She doesn't want it. You're doing it.
Of course. But the sight of what you're doing, the nezik that she's occurring. So let's see. Let's just finish Reb Shimon. Because it gets even better next week. Reb Shimon. The Raya is there. Reb Shimon has a gavaldik Raya. The Raya is there. Nira mehoshla hevia shas oynet mefatim hach shechit shetel tashumin. Frankly, Reb Shimon, I don't get it. We're tumbling for the last two blot. How do you know loike mishal v'no loike? Frank Reb Shimon, why don't you learn from Kanas? Every time you ma'anis a girl, you pay. But isn't every single time you ma'anis a girl, you're over lo Yosef? Kavaldik, I never thought about this. Frank Reb Shimon, I don't understand. We've been tumbling to learn. How do you know that by oynes mafate we say mishal v'no loike? Frank Reb Shimon, isn't it based into the psukim? Every time you ma'anis a girl, you're over lo Yosef because you damaged her. So why don't we say that it's the Torah's way of telling me mishal v'no loike? Zok Reb Shimon, because you're not over lo Yosef. It's not true. When you're ma'anis a girl, you do not transgress the law of Lo Yosef. Zok Reb Shimon ube emes. Lo masinu b'shem posuk she yadin malchus ba'inis b'shem lav de Lo Yosef. Af hechadim, even when you're not paying. K'mayim isu be'im b'shem lav acher. So he says, I'm in cheschinuch that asks kasha v'in alkei nirim zeh to lechosh v'toyre lechoyvel rak bo'ise derech havala. Avo bo'ise derech tashmish lahana asoy ein zeh havala. So you, I'm not clear.
And afkamina is you...
The boishes have begun. According to Reb Shimon, the boishes began that you're paying because you were ma'anis girls, not because you did physical damage to her body.
But unless during while you're ma'anis, right, you hit her.
Right. If while you're being ma'anis, sir, you slap her to stop screaming, that would be regular chavol.
The key is that it is not a Kimlay case.
Right, but the question that we need to figure out is what is the lumdus of boishes began? Zok Reb Shimon, chavola means damage, attack, damage. This is self pleasure, and therefore that's not the same as chavol.
But the end result is this.
Correct. But according to Shimon, it doesn't matter what the end result is. According to matter how the process happened. So according to Shimon, punching someone in the face and forcing yourself on someone, although it has the same end result, is not the same thing.
You don't get malchus, but you do pay.
Right. The point is that moment is that you're paying is not as a result of cause that caused her physical damage.
And you never look at the person that got damaged because she didn't agree to it.
100% she didn't agree to it. But that's still not chavola. That's not chayv l'chaver. It's not the same thing as chayv l'chaver.
Why does it make a difference whether you do it with your fist or another part of your body? You're doing damage.
Shimon understands that the lav of Leo, he said, but the moment is a different type of a man. Okay, but next week.